Genesis 28. Genesis 28. And again, last week we took a look at the issues there of the five beginnings of man and the five entrances of man's sin into the world and the products of it and what became of that and how God rectified that issue there with the flood and with Noah, Noah's flood and creating his own nation. So what we're doing now is we're looking at Jacob, and we're going to look at the entrance into captivity. And what we see here is Jacob being the son of Isaac there, and so on and so on. So let's take a look at Genesis 28. Genesis 28, and let's look at verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went into Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt be spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all the places where thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. Now I'm going to stop there. We're going to continue on in a bit there. But what we see here, we see God making a declaration. He's making a declaration that through Abraham, seed, and now you see here his grandson here, that through their seed is God going to formulate his plan. He formulated his plan to repossess the earth, and all the families of the earth are going to be blessed by this seed, which the Lord says is going to be a people after him. And he's making a declaration there that he's putting Satan on notice, as well as the men of the earth, that through this seed will be the word of the God, the Most High God, coming from out of the mouth from these people here. Now let's pick it up here in verse 16. Genesis 28, verse 16. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Now, of course, I know you're familiar with the word Bethel. That means the house of God, or some people say the place of God. But Jacob knew, God was explaining to him that this land here is where I'm going to be setting up my residence there. This is holy land here. So that's why he's going to go and he's going to set up a memorial there. And see, Jacob understood that dream that was given unto him, he knew that was the place of the Lord, or the house of God and the gate of heaven. And when he was showing the angels ascending and descending, which we're gonna see that there, he's showing possession. He's showing that possession there in verse 12, that this is where the house of God is going to be set up from. And God's business is going to be instituted from the earth there. And he's telling them that, look, as far as you can see from the north to the south to the east to the west, as far as the eyes can see, that this is going to be the house of God, that this is going to be where God's going to set up this kingdom. And then when you're here in chapter 28, we're going to see Jacob now leave out. He's going to go in and he's going to go take wives. He's going to take wives in chapters 29, 30, and 31. And you're going to see sons being born unto him. That's going to be the 12 sons or 12 nations, 12 nations of Israel. And it's going to be through there was a man called Laban and his daughters, Rachel and Leah. And we're going to see that Jacob was caused to serve Laban for his daughter Rachel, and he stayed a little longer than he was supposed to. Let's take a look at that. Come over to Genesis 31. And let's take a look at verse 41. Genesis 31. Let's take a look at verse 41. Thus I have been 20 years in thy house. I have served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Now, let me stop there. Jacob didn't set out to serve this man Laban, and that's who he's speaking to there, but he wanted to marry his daughter, so Laban agreed with Jacob that he would serve him 7 years for his daughter, but he ended up going where he gave Jacob the other daughter, the older daughter, and made him to serve him another 7 years. So that ended up being 14 years. Then when they had children, because you had the two daughters, and then you had the handmaidens of both wives, they all bare daughters children onto Jacob. So that's why it was 20 years that he served him. Verse 42, except the God of my father and the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. What can I do this day unto these my daughters, or unto the children which have been born? Now therefore, come thou and let us make a covenant, and I and thou can let it be for a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And what you see here is you see Laban coming along and making a covenant with Jacob for his grandchildren, his daughters, and this is now Jacob's family here. And Jacob ends up leaving. And when he left to make his own people, his own nation. He kept his end of the bargain there. And as he went, God was with him. Now come to Genesis 32 here. Genesis 32. And what we're looking at here, we're looking at the whole issue of the formulation of the nation of Israel. We're looking at God taking a nation of his own people and creating them to repossess the earth back onto himself. And through this mighty nation, would he put an end to what Satan intended for this earth to be. And that's for Satan to be, to have dominion and possess the earth and institute his wrath and judgment upon the earth and have man to walk in his ways and work together with him and what he's doing and so on and so on. But let's take a look at God's plan and purpose to rectify that situation there. Genesis 32, verse 24. 32:24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, I'm going to give you a little backdrop of this here. The man that he was wrestling with was an angel. Jacob was wrestling with an angel here, and this was a sign and another declaration about how Israel is going to be made a mighty nation through Jacob's seed here. And as you're going to see, Jacob's name is going to be called something different. It's going to be called Israel. He's going to change his name here. Let's go to verse 26 here. And he said, this is the angel speaking, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with man, and prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou doest ask me after my name?" And he blessed him there. And when you see this, when you see Jacob wrestling with this angel until the break of day, you see God changing the name of Jacob to Israel. That what that was doing is showing that Jacob and through Israel, that's a sign that as a prince, he's going to have power with God and with man. And not only just have power with God and man, but the fact that he prevails. And God was showing Satan, and he was showing this world, that he is with his nation. And they're capable of being a powerful nation over man, and most importantly, over Satan. And, you know, God, what God was doing is he was showing that through Israel, which Jacob's name is now changed to Israel, that he was going to show rulership and the ability to reign supreme here on the earth, just as the way it was intended to be. So let's go over to let's come over to Genesis 46. Genesis 46, and let's look at verse 2. Genesis 46, verse 2. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "I am here." And he said, "I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make thee of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Jacob shall put his hand upon thine eyes." Now, we'll stop there. What you see here is, you see God telling Jacob now to go into the land, go into Egypt. And we know eventually they're going to be in captivity there. But God is saying that I'm going to be with you. Fear not to go down into Egypt. And there I will make of thee a great nation. And this is where you're going to see the children of Israel grow greater. The numbers are going to be greater and greater and greater, where they're going to be there for 400 years of captivity. And this is what we're looking at here. We're looking at their entrance into the kingdom, into Egypt, and their captivity there. And we're seeing that formulation of that there, and how you were going to have Moses to come along later and deliver them out of Egypt or the iron furnace there. Let's look at verse 5 here. Look at verse 5. Genesis 46, verse 5. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, and when they had gotten in the land of Canaan and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. Now you see, there was already a big family that he had there. He had 12 sons and his daughters also, and they had their children, and they all went into Egypt. And what you see from a few hundred turns into millions, and which is going to be turned into the nation of Israel there. And what we're going to do next week, we're going to look at the Israel coming out of Egypt. But what I want to do for the remainder of the study here is take a look at God making known his name unto Israel, and him showing his plan to repossess the earth back onto himself through Israel, not through any other means, but through Israel alone there. And that's what we see. And that's what we're taking a look at in Romans chapter 8 there. So let's go over to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and let's look at verse 13. Exodus 3, verse 13. And now we see Moses here. We see Moses, and if you want, you can get time. You can take a look at that, the issue there, of that reading from Genesis 46 through the end of the chapter there, and then you'll come up to this point here, which you only have about five chapters until you get to this point here. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 13, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said, Moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is a memorial unto all generations. And I'm going to stop there for a second. What you see, the Lord is saying, the Lord God is saying, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. And what's being said here is, God gave a lesson to Moses to give unto Israel, that whenever they needed God to be something for them, which was a deliverer, avenger, a God of peace, there are seven Jehovah compound names. And those seven Jehovah compound names, what it meant is, I am Jehovah Shalom. I am Jehovah Ra'ah. I am Jehovah Shamar. There's seven Jehovah names signifying him to be the God of peace or their victor. And so on and so on. And what we could do is, if we get time, we'll take a look at those seven compound names there. If we get time, we'll take a look at that. We might have time to look at that there. Let's pick it up here in verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. Now, this is Israel in Egypt here. They're in captivity, And God sends Moses to give this unto Israel, the children of Israel there. At verse 17, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And again, what you see here, you see that command to go tell the children of Israel this thing, because they ought to know who God of Israel is. In Egypt, there were many gods in Egypt, and what is going to be shown to them is that this is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. It's the God of their fathers. This is the one that he's already shown his Jehovah's grace and mercy, and also being God Almighty. And he wants them to know that all you have to do is just finish the blank, that I am your Redeemer. I am your peace. I am your victor. And all those things, that's all they needed from him, is just to put in the blank, and he'll be that for them. Now let's look at, come over to Exodus 19. Exodus 19, and we're going to see a couple issues here. Exodus 19, let's look at verse 1. Exodus 19, verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim. And were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, as we see here, this is after them being taken out of Egypt there. And what the Lord is going to show them here, he's going to show them that they're going to be his holy nation. They're going to be his kingdom of priests. It's not that he just justified them, but he wants them now to be a people, or actually a nation after his own creation, to be an extension of his holiness. And that's the same with us today. God didn't just save us so he can justify us onto eternal life, so we can only go to heaven. He saved us onto his purpose to be what he's called us to be. And this is what's being said here to these Israelites, in a sense of he has a different plan of purpose for them. Let's go to verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And again, as you see here, that they will be a peculiar treasure above all people. And what he's doing, he's separating himself and his people. He's separating his people, a nation after his own creation, from what's going on the earth, all the ungodliness that's taking place on the earth. Now, let's take a look at God's declaration. God has made declarations to repossess the earth. And he did it basically throughout the whole Bible here. But we'll take a look at just a few of the declarations that God made that he would repossess the earth back onto itself through the nation of Israel, and all the declaration that he made to show Satan as well, that through him, through his seed, will all the nations of the earth be blessed, and God will be shown as the Most High God, possessor of heavens and earth. So let's take a look at that there. Let's go to First Chronicles chapter 16. First Chronicles chapter 16, and we're going to look at verse 30. First Chronicles chapter 16, verse 30. Fear before him all the earth. As you see here, you see the first words, fear before him all the earth. That says, and the world also shall be stable, that it shall be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. Let the men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. That's the way it ought to be. And it's going to be that way, that through Israel, God is going to have the earth, the people of the earth, saying this. And that's what First Chronicles here is making a declaration of. Look at verse 32. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out of the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. And as you see here in verse 35, when it says, and say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and that's not talking about saving, it's not talking about saving them from the debt and penalties of their sins. You got to remember, this is talking about his people here. It's, this saving, as you see, is going to be a physical salvation. Notice in verse 34, for his mercy, notice in the next verse here, what it says here, save us, O God, our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen. That's what they want to be saved from, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory to thy praise. Blessed be the God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. These are justified people. They're not begging. They're not praying on to God to save them. But what he's doing here, the whole context of this is he's showing how Israel is going to be and how they ought to be unto him. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2. We're going to look at a couple more areas here, and then we're going to take a look at those seven Jehovah compound names there. Isaiah chapter 2. Let's look at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. And the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established above in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, looking at Isaiah chapter 2 here, as you see, it says, for he will teach us his ways. Now, that's going to be done through Israel. And that's what you see here in verses 2 on down. Israel is going to be the ones that's going to institute God's ways and his paths. And it says, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now verse 4 here. Verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now, that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it's going to be instituted, where God's ways, God's word is going to be coming out through 12 tribes, which are going to be a kingdom of holy priests, and all the nations are going to do just what's being said here. He shall judge among nations. They shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords, and so on and so on. Let's look at another instance like that there. Isaiah 27, let's look at verse 6. Isaiah 27, verse 6. And he shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Hath he smitten him as he smote those that smote him? Or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? In measure when it shooteth forth, wilt thou debate with it? He stayed his rough wind in the day of the east wind. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this all the fruit to take away his sin, when he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder. The groves and images shall not stand up. As you see here, what I'm after is actually verse 6 and 7 there, but it's talking about Jacob and Israel and how they're going to blossom, which is the nation, how they're going to blossom and the how the world is going to benefit from that. And that's what's being spoken about there, is how Israel is going to be what God has called them to be. Now, again, let's take a look at the whole issue here of those seven Jehovah compound names. As a matter of fact, we got a little time here. I want to take a look at those five mandates first. The five mandates, which are him being the Redeemer, the Deliverer, the Avenger, the King, and the Blesser. And I'm going to touch on it, and then next week we'll come back and take a look at that more extensively there. Let's take a look at that there. Let's go to the Book of Ruth. The Book of Ruth, and we're going to see that there. Matter of fact, yeah, let's go to Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4, and let's look at verse 4. Ruth 4, verse 4. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants, before the elders of my people, if thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. If thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know that there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the land of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, this is the matter in the former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing to conform all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. This was a testimony in Israel. Now, what we're seeing here is, and we went over this when we looked at, we're in the book of, it was over in Romans chapter 6, and we was looking at the Lord being that Redeemer. And we saw the whole issue there of one being that this is a foretaste and showing about the Redeemer, about the Lord being that Redeemer to redeem anyone in any predicament that they cannot redeem themselves out of. This, as you see here, is Boaz and Ruth here. There's a redemption there that they cannot be redeemed from. But to give a to give a backdrop, let's go to Isaiah chapter 9 here. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to give a backdrop of those five mandates of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 9, and let's go to verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And this is speaking of the Lord. It's speaking of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, you know, when you're talking to people, and people will tell you they tell you that Jesus and the Father weren't one, and that Joseph was Jesus' real father. And, you know, we'd like to take them over to these verses here, because here is showing who Jesus is going to be. It says, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, that's capital W, Counselor, that's capital C, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, henceforth forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it has lightened upon Israel. And as you see here, that's those five mandates. And next week, we're going to break them down to each particular one about the Wonderful or the Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and so on. And then we're going to look at how those five mandates translate into the seven Jehovah compound names. As a matter of fact, let's just, for the time we have here, let's just take a look at the, I'm going to cite the verses. I'm just going to give you the titles and cite the verses. I'm not going to read them. You can do that on your own. And then next week, we're going to actually go through them, go through each one there. We just looked at the Redeemer one. That's the first mandate of the Lord. That's the one he already fulfilled. The Lord already fulfilled that mandate by being the Redeemer. And he did that. He did that through what was prophesied through the prophets there. Man has always known about the necessity for a Redeemer. Since Adam sinned, he knew that he would surely die. Not in the sense of physically die, but he knew he would end up eventually dying. And that death, there needed to be a remedy for that enemy, which is called death. And that Redeemer is that remedy. And Adam and everyone after Adam has the same predicament that we have. Sinners, born as sinners, needing a Savior so we don't spend eternity facing the wrath and punishment of God because of this fallen state that we're in. They had the same predicament that we had. So, to make a long story short, God fulfilled that Redeemer mandate through Christ there. The Redeemer mandate was fulfilled. Now let's look at the other one, the Deliverer. The Deliverer is where we've seen the Mighty God, okay? The Deliverer there. The Redeemer was the Wonderful. When you've seen that over in Isaiah 6, the Deliverer is the Mighty God, and that's going to be found in 2 Samuel 22. And we're going to look at those next week. We're not going to actually just give you the verses there. You can take a look at it on your own for now. Next week, we're going to dive into that. We don't have time. I would hate to get started on it and end up halfway through it and not finish. So, 2 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 7, you're going to see God, Jesus Christ being spoken as the Deliverer. the mighty God. And that's going to be one of the second of the five mandates. Then let's take a look at, give you the verses of the Avenger. The next one is going to be the Avenger, which is going to be the Counselor. That's going to be over there in Psalms 18. The Avenger, which is going to be the Counselor. And these are all these ones we're seeing now are going to be the ones that he's going to be fulfilling after we get raptured out of here. He's going to be that deliverer for them, the Avenger. He's going to deliver Israel. He's going to avenge them. And Psalms 18 speaks to that fact. Psalms 18, verse 46 through 50. And you see him doing that over in Revelations chapter 6. Revelations chapter 6 talks about him avenging the blood of them that dwell on the earth. So again, you can write these down, and there's going to be more we're going to look at. We're going to look at more of them. There are going to be more verses. We're going to look at the Lord doing this, declaring that he is the avenger. He's going to avenge his enemies. Now let's look at the other one. Let's look at the King, the Lord being the King, and that's the Everlasting Father. That's going to be found in Second Samuel chapter seven. You're going to see about him, about that the line of David there, about Jesus being declared to be the Holy One of Israel. And you know, when you're looking at, just say in the Book of Acts, for instance, and you see in Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up and he declares unto Israel what they've done in crucifying their Messiah. And he takes them back through a history of Israel. And you see him doing this. You also see Stephen doing this in Acts chapter 7. You also see Paul doing this in Acts chapter 13. What they do, three times this is done in the Book of Acts. They go back to Abraham, and they walk the nation of Israel down through David. And then when they get to David, then they speak of Christ, because they start from the formulation of the nation, and then they go to David, and then they show Christ is going to be that house that God's going to institute. The kingdom is going to be fulfilled, the throne and things like that. So that's there in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Then the last of the five mandates is the Lord being the blesser, which is the Prince of Peace. And that's what we see here in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verses 2, all the way down through verse 12. And then Psalms 115, Psalms 128. Many verses we're going to look at next week there. Now, what we're going to do now is take a look at the seven compound names of the Lord. And these seven compound names, they're also going to be associated with the Redeemer, the Deliverer, the Avenger, the King, and the Blesser, and also Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. They're all a foretaste being spoken about in Scripture. Now these seven compound names are the I Am that we saw there. That is the Lord being what Israel needs for him to be unto them. And we got a little time. You know, we're going to look at those. I'm going to take a look at those. We still have a few minutes here. Let's take a look at the first one, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, and let's look at verse 2. Genesis 22, verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore burnt offering upon the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of the young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I with the lad, and will go up yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and took a knife and went both of them together. Isaac spake unto his father, Abraham his father, and said, my father. He said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire of the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And went both of them together. Now, let me stop there. As you see here, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. That's a foreshown of Christ there. And when they came into the place which God had told him of, Abraham built an altar there and And they came to the place when God told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound his son Isaac and laid him upon the altar on the wood. And I'll just make a long story short here. Abraham went to sacrifice his son, and he didn't there. Let's go down to verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it said, this day, the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Now, this is the first one. This is Jehovah Jireh. And Jehovah Jireh, we're going to see, is going to be significant to that Redeemer. And wonderful. That Jehovah Jireh there, okay? Now let's come over to, and we're going to see that friend of God. Let's go over to another one, Jehovah Nessi. Jehovah Nessi, and that's Exodus chapter 17. Jehovah Nessi, which is going to be the Avenger and the Counselor. Jehovah Nessi, let's see. Let's look at Exodus 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand, mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses said unto him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the other side, his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And this is what they did. They held his hands up. His hands were weary. And every time he held that rod up, Israel would prevail. But when he put the rod down, then the Amalek would prevail. So let's come down to verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nessi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And as you see here, this is the Lord prevailing. That's the Jehovah Nessi there. That's the Avenger or the Counselor. Okay. Now let's take a look at another one here. Let's look at Jeremiah 23. You're going to see Jehovah Zitkenu. Jehovah Zitkenu, and this is going to be the Deliverer or the Mighty God. Jeremiah 23, Let's take a look at verse. Let's just look at verse 2. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit you upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them. I will bring them again into their folds, and they shall be fruitful in increase. I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now this is Jehovah Zikanu, the deliverer, the mighty God. And we're going to do, and you see there in verse 5, you see it says, I will raise unto David a righteous branch. You see the branch, capital B, and a king shall reign and prosper. And that execute judgment and justice, that's delivering Israel. That's being that righteousness. We're going to see that, what that righteousness is about there. We're going to look at the other ones here. Let's look at Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah is the king, or the everlasting father. Jehovah Shammah. That's Ezekiel 48. And again, we're not going to look at that because there's quite a bit to go into. There's quite a bit of verses here, but I'm just going to cite these, and we're going to pick it up next week. Jehovah Shammah, that'll be over in Ezekiel 48, and that'll be verses 22 down through verse 35. That's Jehovah Shammah, which will be the king and the everlasting father. Then you see Jehovah Shalom, that's going to be the blesser and the prince of peace. That's going to be found in Judges. And again, the declarations of the Lord being all those seven compound names and the five mandates is all throughout God's word. But we're just looking at a few of them. That's what we're going to be doing next week there. That's going to be found in Judges chapter 6, verse 23 and verse 24. And we'll cite that real quick. We don't have to look at that there. We'll look at that next week. Jehovah Shalom, the blesser and the prince of peace. Let's look at then Jehovah Ra'ah. That's talking about that shepherd there. That's going to be found in Psalms 23. I know many of you heard the verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's going to be found in Psalms 23 there, speaking of Jehovah Ra'ah. Let's look at the other one, another one in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 24. Yeah, Jehovah Rapha. That's the Lord that healeth thee. The Lord that healeth thee there. And that's that seventh one there. And that's in Exodus 15, verses 24 down to 26. And you'll find that there. And that the Lord that healeth thee, he's going to be that one that's going to heal all mankind, heal the earth, and bring things back to his possession and the way things intended it to be. So those are those seven Jehovah compound names, the I Am, and we're going to see that all throughout. We're not going to look at an extensive look into that, but we're going to look at how all that plays into this. And it's I feel it's a good time to look at that before we look at God delivering Israel out of Egypt. So next week we're going to take a look at that. With that, we're going to go to Q&A session. Okay, we're going to Q&A session. Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. And Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. Okay, yeah. So, again, next week we're going to be taking a look at those issues there with the five mandates, the seven Jehovah compound names, and we're going to see what's going to be taking place there with that. I'm going to go to caller 3366. You're in the queue.
First caller, how you doing, Pastor? How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing there, my friend? How you been?
Oh, great. Good. I need a computer or something or another brain, because he shows it a whole lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. No, but what struck me out, that, and I don't want to be a silly question or nothing like that. I know that God, I mean, he created the whole world, world, and we all was born sinners, and God mm-hmm. himself being God himself, he just chosen Israel to deal with them in a whole different aspect than the Gentiles. Because they speak a particular princess, and he just chose to deal with them a different way than he chose to deal with the Gentiles, because we all born sinners, and he knew that they couldn't do these things. So, like, Paul is our postman, and Moses is what they spoke with. Moses delivered all the message to them for God to care to them for them. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he didn't be wow, he can do that, and he did do that. And so I am learning, you know, about, I'm glad you're teaching on this, because I never heard this kind of teaching on the house of Israel, you know.
Okay.
Justification is different, but when you were telling one of them, the justification is not to be saved from their death, sin, and hell. Not that justification. But they just want to be saved from not from being saved from death, from their sin. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and what we're looking at, there are differences in the programs and Moses, and just like Paul talks about over there, Paul talks about how Moses gave unto Israel commands and things like that. And Paul, what Paul is doing is different. He said, and not as Moses, you know. And what you see here, you see God calling these people my people. People are going to be extension of his holiness. He's instituting laws and judgment. And that law given unto Israel had nothing to do with their justification. This was going to be a way that they will live wholly unto him. And we don't have that law. We don't have a law. What our only law we have is to fulfill. We can fulfill the law by loving one another, meaning how we live unto him, we live unto him in love. So that's a different. We have a whole different program than Israel. Israel walked according to the law there, but you know. So we're going to take a look at that a little more. And again, like I said, hang in there with me, and we're going to go through all this. And I'm going to cite some of the verses there, like the one we looked at where it said, "The Lord is mine righteousness." And a lot of people look at that verse and say, well, yeah, that's talking about righteousness onto eternal life, you know, when actually what's being spoken of there is righteousness in saving them and being redeeming them, you know, from being afflicted through, you know, going through those situations there. But We're gonna look at those. We'll look at those verses. Like, again, hang in there with me, and we'll, as we go through these, and we'll see if these things be so.
Okay, that sounds good. That sounds real good, because it seems like, I mean, that all that stuff was like physical aspects that I'm learning. Most of it was physical. And dealing with them, you know, like on a physical behalf, you know.
You're going to see that because, again, they're the children of Israel. They're going through those five courses. They're going through those five courses of punishments, and as you see, like in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. And then it talks about He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Now that path of righteousness is not that they're saved. He's saving them unto eternal from the death penalty. This is a saint talking, a justified saint that is talking, that the Lord is leading him through His word. His word is restoring his soul. His word is leading them in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Again, this is and this is the Psalm of David. David was a justified man there, you know. But again, when we see that righteousness, we assume that this guy's not saved yet and the Lord is going to save him eventually. And just, again, bear with me. I ask you.
good message. Something to learn. Something to real learn. You got to speak to Israel and know who you are. And if you don't know who you are now. So you keep doing what you're doing on this study, because I never heard it before in my life, but I'm learning a whole lot, and I love to learn.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Have a
good one. Okay, thank you. You too. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Okay. Yeah, and I'm glad the question was asked there. And next week we're going to take a look at those things too. But again, we're going to look at the five mandates of the Lord. We're going to look more deeply into that. The seven Jehovah compound names and how they all tie into Isaiah declaring that the Lord is going to be that counselor, that wonderful, that counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, where it says that upon His kingdom there shall be no end, and established judgment and justice from henceforth forever. That's what we're going to be looking at there before we look at Israel being taken out of Israel, the Egypt, sorry. Okay, so with that, I'm going to close. And I thank everyone for listening to another Thursday night Bible study. And until next week, thank you.
If this study has been of some help to you, you can always tune back in every Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern to listen in for more of God's edification, Rightly Divided. And also you can listen to this study over again on the playback number of 641-715-3609. That's 641-715-3609. And this study will be available all week. Thanks again for listening in. Thank you.